Once upon a time, this station, and I'll just choose a time, 1971. And that's not because I want to go back to the dear old hippie days. I never was a hippie, right? I was always a prude and a conservative. So, but, you know, I had my gun on my bitch. But
hey, I voted for Nixon in 72.
God bless you. You know what I mean? They don't make him like that anymore, Simeon. You know, and he's where he belongs now, in heaven. So meanwhile, here's what I want to say. People got on the air here. They never thought about a particular community. Now, a lot of people claim that it was a white station once, and you know what? It really was. No, I mean, it really was. But now, let me skip. No,
when? Well, this is WBAI in New York City. When was it a white station?
When you and your culture of whiteness pals were running this place. Larry, let me name some of the black people who used to be on the station. Bob Fass, Larry Josephson, Steve Post. You know what I'm saying?
Julius Lester, Joanne Grant, I have a list of six or seven other people, including people who were the assistant, who were the assistant manager at one point.
So it wasn't a white-run station.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
When I first came to work here, there were easily three out of five of the employees, the engineer. The recording engineer, they were people of color.
Now, I can't believe that you're telling me that Clayton Riley would tell a lie. Because this is where I get my information from. Now, meanwhile, let me finish this point about the youth, because this is...
Well, I don't want to destroy your faith in Clayton Riley.
No, and I really resent the fact that you're even interrupt my idolization of the man. So, all right, so here's the thing. All right, so once upon a time...
Here's a picture of Clayton Riley going to the Traffic Motor Vehicle Bureau and getting a vanity plate.
Mike, I was just going to ask you, I was going to invite you to stop up. We're having a meeting up at the station Monday evening at 6:30, the Exploratory Committee, if you can.
I'll try to do it, but let me finish.
If not this Monday, in the future, I'd really like to have you come up and talk to me.
Can I give you my email? Do you have an email?
Sure.
Why don't you write this down, and can you get in touch with me, because I want to keep corresponding with you about this. It's BKS, that's Books King Sam, BKS.
I got it.
And then my last name, Feder.
Right.
At AOL.com. But let me finish this point about the youth, right? Everybody talks about it. Now, that's a good point. But once upon a time, people got on this station. Let's just pick a time, the 70s or whatever it was, or the late 60s. They never thought about that. They just did programming which naturally appealed to young people. Now, why is it necessarily, for instance, that you might be suggesting, or somebody else might be suggesting, that what we're doing here now, what we've done for the last couple of years, does not appeal to youth? Now, why would that be? How did that happen? In other words, what are we putting on the air here now that does not appeal to youth? And I would also add a caution to this. If you look at what television puts on for youth or what the music industry puts on for youth, it's dumbed down, it's vicious, it's stupid, and superficial. Or how do we appeal to the youth right now? That's my question. That's all. It's an open question.
And you want to know something? That is a very good question and one we'd like to find an answer for. I'd like to get that, Mark.
Once upon a time, this station naturally appealed to hundreds of thousands of young people in a very successful way. Why do we not appeal that way now? And how do we rectify that? I don't think it's by naturally going to certain particular parts of the city to appeal to certain youth. I think it's by putting on certain kinds of personalities
that
are young at heart and can appeal to everybody. That's what I think.
I agree.
Anyhow, I'm sorry.
I think
to
the
so
personalities that you have on, that makes a big difference. You know Deepa Fernandez.
Sure.
Now, a woman like that, if she had a show, I am sure that she would appeal to a large youth population. She has that type of a personality, you know. From what I know of her, when I've talked to her.
Sure. I mean, there's lots of people we could get to put on here.
Even you.
I believe it. You know, there's a lot of kids who listen, like 20-year-olds and teens who listen to my show. It's true. You know, I mean, it really bothered me when a lot of these people at Pacifica were talking about, we don't want stations for 50-year-old men anymore. You know, I say 50-year-old men of the world, you know, throw off your chains.
Oh, let me tell you something. I watched Steve Yasko do a demographic analysis of the listener audiences of Pacifica, and I got sick. It should have been in a boardroom of ABC or Fox.
Well, they're all
but
like
not
that.
Not in Pacifica.
Yeah.
He wasn't even talking about Pacifica.
He was talking about his website.
Was the national program director.
Well, now, Yasko was from, wasn't he from Corporation for Public Broadcasting, right?
He
was a marketing guy from NPR.
He was a marketing guy.
From NPR, for Christ's sake. I mean, that's who we had. And he had Bert Lee, a radio station broker, John Murdoch, a lawyer. I mean, how did this happen?
And they're gone. They're gone.
But you know, it's interesting. We have to think about how the demons got sucked in here. You don't, you know, there was a vacuum here of a certain sort. You know, people don't just walk into a place
that's
vital
question.
And defended.
Mary Frances and the Democratic Leadership Council.
Well, that's true. That's true, Lee.
And they decided they're going to take over the AI and make it into an NPR pro.
Well, I don't know if I could make it to the Monday meeting, but let's keep in touch.
Look, I got your email, so I'll be in touch.
I'm also talking to Andy Norris, too, about this stuff.
Okay.
I got this letter.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Have a good night, guys.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. You too.
Should we do a station ID? Can I do it?
Yeah, we just did one at 1 o'clock.
Oh,
you
want
to do another one? Go ahead, do another
one. Credit. But how much money do you get paid for me?
What's that?
How much money do you get for that? I mean, for the station ID, like $1,000 per hour?
Well, I just got $100 in this letter, and I want to read the letter.
Well, read the letter. Go ahead.
All right. It's hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I learned with relief yesterday that I have pneumonia. Hallelujah. I felt so lame, so guilty about missing the Allied Army's invasion of Berlin last weekend. I felt guilty and ungrateful about not accepting your gracious invitation to one of your station parties. But I listened to Thursday's program twice now. But now, even I can say proudly that I couldn't be with you or in New York because I have pneumonia. Hallelujah. Some comments. And ruminations, 1527 to 1591. Brother Fray Luis de Leon, a professor at the University of Salamanca, was denounced to the Inquisitor and sent to prison for 5 years from 1572 to 1576 by a bunch of scheming, vindictive, anti-Semitic vermin. One of his great grandmothers had been Jewish. You might say he was set up by the spiritual ancestors of WBAI's Koopsters. After his release, when his position was returned to him, he returned to the university at Salamanca. His first day back at the lecture hall, the room was filled with friends, enemies, and the curious. Would this pious, scholarly, honest man denounce the people who had set him up? But his first unforgettable and often quoted words were simply, deseamos ayer, as we were saying yesterday. I've confirmed who's who at WBAI. Another Spanish hero of mine, Miguel de Unamuno, 1864 to 1936, once said, at times, to remain silent is the same thing as lying. Most of the people at WBAI who I most love and admire refused to be silent, no matter what the consequences were. I've learned two valuable lessons from this crisis, in addition to who's who. First, that I'm a part of an awesomely smart, energetic, creative, and generous group of human beings who form the heart of the WBAI audience. I've seldom been prouder of being a member of any group. And I've learned to not take WBAI for granted, nor to take my favorite shows and WBAI people for granted. The institution of WBAI is important, but the human beings are perhaps more important. There's always a Stalin or a lead working in the shadows to take over and exploit socialism or WBAI to remake them in their own vile image. Then he lists a bunch of his heroes. You're among them, I'm among them, Bernard's among them, Robert Knight, John McDonough, etc., etc., are WBAI. And the institution is, I will use a Spanish word here, encarnado in you. You validate and keep alive an institution, not vice versa. Finally, I'm going to shamelessly exploit our friendship by enclosing a check for the upcoming fund drive. If anybody else wants to exploit our friendship the same way, I will accept it, even though I have pneumonia to pledge to Radio Unnameable. The check is postdated because my next check from the Board of Ed is electronically deposit first loyalty and then the pledge and the check is for all the people at WBAI who understand at times to remain silent is the same as lying. And it's signed Louis B. And here's this check. I don't know what to do with it, but...
It's a wonderful letter. Yes. That quote is reminiscent of something. I went to the library specifically to look up the author of something to the effect of, the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, in time of great moral crisis, choose to maintain their neutrality. It was Dante.
Hmm. You're on the radio.
Yeah, I'd like to say to the people who are going to that protest, the wall of Astoria, and then the big article in the Village Voice, the police are ready. So be peaceful. They're expecting people to come in who aren't peaceful. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Let's pray to God it doesn't. Be peaceful there and let the police be peaceful too.
Well, the Village Voice just took a police handout on that story.
Well, they have
you
pictures.
Know,
they have the pictures of the police. They're all posed, ready to go, you know. If it comes to this violent. So stay peaceful, everybody.
You're on the radio. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Is this Sinin?
Yeah, this is she. How are you?
Isn't that, you got to admit that's pretty good. I could tell with just like a sound.
Acute, very acute.
Welcome, Sinin. I'm so glad to hear from you.
56 and a half year old cute woman. What can I say? I'm calling, well, because, I mean, I'm really loving the show and I'm glad that I can hear you. And the other thing is that there was a question posed as to why the youth may not be turning on WBAI.
If that's true, I don't really know if that's true.
Okay. And I have some thoughts about that.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
I was thinking when you posed the question, I thought immediately of the alienation that has happened for so many of the youth, because more and more parents have to go out and work, and the children spend less and less time with parents, and so they seek each other as a way of a support system, and so they actually stay away a great deal from the adults, and also the issue of how the drug situation engulfed this area. Well, engulfed us so much that the children were many. Well, the last generation was overwhelmed by it, and many of our children were lost to it and imprisoned by it, and alienated because of it. The other thing that I was thinking about is that, because so many children are no longer able to access their mothers and fathers or their grandmothers and grandfathers the way they used to, and their family the way they used to, or as often as they used to, they need programming that actually helps them reach themselves and love themselves and have a sense of self-worth more.
Well, what would that be like? Suggest a kind of program.
Well, you know, when see, the two of you that are sitting there right now doing the program, I mean, they may be more, but...
Well, there's four.
There's four, okay. So there's you, and there's Bob, and who else? Who else is there? Excuse me?
Who's
Hampton.
Hampton's here.
And Bill.
There. And Bill, yeah.
And Bill.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you, Sinin.
And for the moment. And the thing is that each one of you has a history to offer the young people, a sense of your, the way you developed, the difficulties that you had, and how you dealt with them. And your shows, by the way, you just do the shows, the way, you know, each one of you interacts gives young people an opportunity to have a sense that, you know, they're not such oddballs. They're not, you know, they don't have to feel that they're the only ones who have had such difficulty in life with their mothers and fathers and with, you know, other situations, other social situations.
Well, I think that's an absolutely perfect and wonderful suggestion on how to, in fact, I think it's the only way to reach young people is by people our age, 40s, 50s, 60s, 30s, wherever on this station, talking about ourselves and our youth and how we grew up, because it's the only way to connect with them. And you're absolutely right. The problem is that's not considered interesting programming around here for a long time. And that used to be done all the time around here. Most of the programming around here was sort of what's called free form, where really intelligent, articulate, educated people of all different sorts would get on here and talk about the fact that they had experienced this, that, and the other thing in their youth. Now it's all straight ahead information and reporting and issues. And that is not going to do the job. And you're right.
When I was on the outside and you were on the inside.
Correct.
Back in the 70s, I used to call that kind of programming pamphleteering. And that's really what it's like.
Well,
it's like someone has written a pamphlet, a political document. But,
it's got
no jokes.
For all its great value, I mean, Amy Goodman does one of the best radio shows in all of the world. I mean, that's an incredible radio show. And I'm not putting down the informational programming here. It's a hard world and a tough world.
I don't think that program is like that. It's not like a first-year pamphlet. It's a developed program that treats of on stories that are overlooked or buried in the rest of the media.
And what about the Finns? There's no Finnish programming on this station. The Laplanders? There's nothing for Laplanders.
When you were a kid,
yes.
Amish,
right?
And you wanted to declare time out.
Yeah.
In some sort of a game that you might have been playing. Did you say Finns?
You know what? I hate to say this, but that was before my time.
You never said?
We didn't say Finns.
Uh-huh.
You said Finns.
Yeah, we said Finns. I think Finns. It may have been because Finns were some original peacekeepers, huh?
What?
They would go in. They would go in carrying a flag of truce.
I thought it had something to do with tuna fish, but I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to say something about your response to what I said.
Yeah, go ahead.
When you said that programming had been done, but then it was rather stopped.
It was sort of phased out.
Okay, it was phased out diplomatically. In order to put in information, straight-ahead information.
Right,
no?
Right.
And my reaction to what you said is it needs not only the life experiences, there needs to be information. And as Bob just said, you know, that Amy's program is an expression of her years of experience, but also her background. You know,
yeah, but
And then the other thing that I think that's important to add, like Bob said, you know, laugh, you know, and also drama, you know, and mystery and suspense and poetry and music. It has to all flow. And the thing is that somehow my impression is that the people who were slowly phasing out what was being done and in place and put in place the you know, the hard political realities of life, they're running for their lives. You understand? So there is a reality within their lives that's a bit different from yours, in the sense that whenever anyone comes for anyone, they first come for us. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Who is us? What do you mean by us?
Us mean people with more melanin, the economically disenfranchised especially, that have less melanin, who have less education, who live mainly in ghettos or slums or ghettos.
Well, I'm not suggesting that one kind of program replaced the other.
No,
I'm suggesting a balance be restored. That's all I'm asking.
That's what I'm saying, that all of that needs to be put in place. But I'm suggesting to you that part of the reason why it was phased out is because people feel the sense of the hand reaching out to grab them, and therefore they need to educate the general population about the political situation that's occurring, so that we can become more aware and militant about stopping the oppression.
Well, you're absolutely right. Take a guy like Julius Lester, who was... Oh, did you want to play a song or something like that? Yeah, I mean, it's your radio show, for God's sake. I mean, take a guy like Julius Lester. Used to be. He was one of my favorite programmers on the radio here, right? Now, he used to talk about all these issues from a personal point of view and a political point of view, and about... being oppressed because he was black and all that kind of stuff, and he did it in a way that was as good as anything that's ever being done now. And at the same time, he also had a sense of humor and played music and talked about growing up and interrelated with everybody else at the station. Now it's much more compartmentalized and narrow. That's all I'm saying. It should just be expanded. That's all.
Let's. There's going to be a meeting on Monday to explore this, or what?
It sounds to me like it's almost like sort of. I mean, it's.
Or you're trying to find out what color the supporters are. I mean, what?
I have no idea. I didn't set that meeting up. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what it is. Very good points. Very good points.
Thank you. I listen to your show. I love your show, by the way. A great deal, and
well, thanks.
Oh yeah.
But see, I don't want to be like. See, every time you speak up about a thing like this, I don't want to be typecast as the guy that Clayton Riley was trying to go after. I'm not like the white avenger here.
Wait a minute. Did I say that?
No, you're not
Clayton
saying.
Exactly. Said to a couple of broadcasters, I know where you live.
Yeah. Well, I never said that you said that. And I think you're the most broad-minded person I've heard call up BAI in a long time. And I've heard you before on the air call up. But I'm saying that just in saying these kinds of things, there are people who are here who are going to think, oh, right, he's fulfilling the prophecy of what we always said was, you know, the vengeance of the white, whatever, blah, blah, the 60s, the hippies, the white guys, the Jews. That's not the point. The point is, where are the... Now, here I am going to sound like the good old days, right? I hate to do this, but I'm going to say it. We used to have a lot of people here, black, white, male, female, gay, straight, who had a broadness of vision and intelligence and ability to go across the boundaries of art and politics and humanity in a way that we don't seem to have right now, and I don't know why that is. That's all.
And I just simply throw out to you the fact that there's been a heavy repression coming down the pike.
But no heavier now than it ever was.
I think, for me personally, it's been more insidious.
Really?
You take care.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Take care. Bye-bye, Bob.
See ya.
Bye-bye. All of you.
Many a time, in many a land, with many a gun, in many a hand. They came by the night, they came by the day, came with their guns to take us away. With a knock on the door, knock on the door, here they come to take one more, one more. Back in the day of the Roman Empire, they died by the cross and they died by the fire. In the stone Colosseum, the crowd gave a roar, and it all began with that knock on the door. Just a knock on the door, knock on the door. Here they come to take one more, one more. The years have all passed, we've reached modern times. The Nazis have come with their Nazi war crimes. Yes, the power was there, the power was found. 6 million people have heard that same sound. That old knock on the door, knock on the door. Here they come to take one more, one more. Now there's many new words and many new names. The banners have changed, but the knock is the same. On the Soviet shores, with right on their side, I wonder who knows how many have died. With their knock on the door, knock on the door. Here they come to take one more, one more. Look over the oceans, look over the land, look over the leaders with the blood on their hands. And open your eyes and see what they do. When they knock over their friend, they're knocking for you. With their knock on the door, knock on the door. Here
job in the world. Ain't what a drag it is going out on a good day. You're feeling real good. You're riding along. Your squad car's all polished up. You know what I mean? You're feeling real mellow. Along comes some poor stud with a load of his kids like a flower pots all over the place. Got a little too fast, you know what I mean? You got to stop the cat. You got to bring him down and lay one on him. It's a pretty tough job, and then when you walk up to you, you don't know whether you're going to pull out a French 75 or what the. It's a drag, so I wrote a little thing called His Majesty the Policeman. He's the children friend of every Ben the Policeman. And you can bet your life he's hip to Mac the Knife. That's His Majesty the Policeman. You should never trip a policeman. Or try to hip or even tip a policeman. Get a ticket to the ball and you can't fight City Hall. That's the Majesty, the policeman. Say, remember that nobility. They're here, they're everywhere. It's mobility. You can look near and far, but they'll pin you by radar. That's the Majesty, the policeman. Here they come. The man in blue. How about the sergeants there? River they bit the patrolman too. How about the chief looks right? How about the captain straight? River they bit hip hip hooray. Doesn't alert the Rio crew. How about the bop? You always try to swing with a policeman. And never ring a ding a policeman. And if you're really hip, you'll never make a slip against their majesties, the policemen.
There's a man going round saying names.
Take a name.
There's a man going round saying names.
Take a name.
He's been taking my father's name, man. He left my heart in vain.
There's a man going round saying names.
There's a man going round saying names.
Take a name.
There's a man.
Take a name.
He been taking my mother's name, and he left my heart in vain.
on the air.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the radio.
Hey, Bob, how are you doing? Hey. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. Is this Greg?
No, this is Mike B. I'm one of the vigilantes. I was down here when you got kicked off the air. I was one of the four people when Bob Daughtry kicked you off the air.
Oh.
Okay. Hey, Hampton, how you doing?
I'm still breathing.
Hampton, still there?
Huh?
Hampton.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Hampton. I'm the one that smokes too much.
You're the one that smokes too much. Yeah, I always said that. You know, two things I can't stand the smell of. Just two. Coffee and cigarettes.
Right.
Anybody want to commit suicide, I'll leave them do it by themselves. I'm not going to be an accessory to it.
Oh, what are we going to do? We're getting coffee brought in.
Hello.
I'm going to stop breathing.
Hey, Mike, I saw you at the lab meeting.
Oh, yeah.
And Lee called in and asked my question. I was not too sure about what you were saying about the Jewish middle class, Upper West Side people.
Yeah, because you know why? Because if you got a room full of people and you got 1 minute to speak, no human being could ever make sense in 1 minute.
Okay.
So hopefully
hopefully you'll come to the committee meeting of the bylaws exploratory committee.
Well, I'm going to try. I don't know if I can because I got stuff I got to do that afternoon. There's lots of personal stuff going on with my kids. But if I can't make it, I'm going to keep in touch with Lee. So.
Okay, because you brought up an issue which is very prevalent in about the whole course of what's going on, and that is the black Jewish economy. Okay, we have to have a discussion, open discussion about this.
The economy?
No,
dichotomy.
Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
Yeah,
I think that's a very important thing to talk about because there's an undercurrent in
New
York.
It's very obvious.
Well, then it's obvious, and it's all over New York City, and it's also played out at this radio station, and the faster we start talking about it, the better off we'll be.
And that's why I'm glad you brought it up in the lab meeting.
Well, yeah, I want people to talk about it. You noticed when I brought that up, there was dead silence.
Oh, well.
Dead silence, and there was applause for every other man.
When you said that young people don't have money, I yelled, you're wrong.
No, I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
I did not say that. I begged to differ with you.
Okay,
the guy in front of me with the bald head said that.
Oh,
he was the one who was talking about Gary Null, and he said to that woman, black kids don't have money. I did not say that.
All right.
And you'll be hearing from my lawyer.
Blacks and Jews, marching down to Mississippi two by twos. One says y'all, the other says you. Come back together now, blacks and Jews. Blacks and Jews, both got rhythm and both got the blues. One's a lawyer when the other's accused. Come back together now, blacks and Jews. Old Ike Turner never was a learner. Beats his a baby when it cousin's in Turner. My ringtone on the Morse Belt phone. Telling Sam you made the pants too long. Blacks and Jews, blacks and Jews. Can't seem to stay off the evening news. One does money, other loses shoes. Come on back together now, blacks and Jews. Blacks and Jews. One egg rolls, the other barbecue. One loved their mother, the other loved their mammy. One close in Harlem, the other Miami. Blacks and Jews can't seem to stay off the evening news. Somebody said I'm on a short fuse. Come back together now, blacks and Jews. Marching down to Selma back in 64, upside my head with a 2x4. Marching in 2x2s in Mississippi. One was a panther and the other was a hippie. Toughest women to diffuse. Husbands oh so hard to choose. Both was one, born to lose. Come back together now, blacks and Jews. Blacks and Jews, blacks and Jews. Marching down Mississippi 2x2s. One says y'all, the other says you. Whole world talking about black and Jews. Come back together now, black and Jews. Come back together now, black and Jews.
Hi, you're on the air.
Okay. But I just wanted to say that.
Pretty bird.
Can't say anything.
Kissing the she flies.
Okay, Bob. I understand where you're coming from.
Who's
hey,
playing
listen.
That?
We got Mike Bader today. I don't want to waste time with him.
I have no control over this. He's running the board.
Well, I'm not playing that song. He's playing it over the phone.
He's censoring me. This is censoring free speech.
This is free format, as they call it.
He's playing this song to drive me nuts because this is the song.
I'm not playing the song. He's playing it over the phone.
Yeah, right.
Only 10 times, though.
I want to give a shout out to Monroe.
And death will come
marching. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome back, each and every one of you.
Oh, hi. Thanks. It's Debbie, right?
Hi.
Hi.
I remember meeting Mike Fader 1994 during a pledge drive. It was January pledge drive. And you spoke about, I think you wrote a book at that time and you were talking about it.
There was a book that I wrote in 1989, but not in 1994, though it was probably still around.
You know. What? I apologize, but I remember meeting...
I accept.
I'm sorry, that's embarrassing.
No,
it's
not.
I was so sure that you wrote a book at that time because I remember you had a special fun drive. It was on a Sunday, and you were talking about a lot of different things with your book and your life and everything.
Well, I mean, I usually would go on for years about something that happened years before, so that's probably what it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we do need, I agree with you that we do need a variety of programs, but the other thing is we also need information and education. That's very important because, Mike, there are people who have the foot of oppression on their back all the time.
Let me interrupt you for a second. I don't know why I haven't made it clear enough, and I'm not trying to come down or anything like that, but I've made it as clear as I can make it, and I'll just say it one last time.
Okay.
I think that what put BAI on the map originally and what people ought to pay attention to is a perfect balance of information and political programming and cultural arts and freeform programming. And all I'm saying, I love the informational programming on the station,
okay.
Most of it. I'm just saying that there's not near enough anymore of the other stuff. So as long as that's completely clear, I don't dislike the informational programming. There's just too much of it in relation to the other kind.
Oh, okay. I'm the one who misunderstood. I'm not trying to get you mad.
I'm not mad. I just talk that way.
Okay. And
I just always talk that way.
Well, who can blame you for misunderstanding? I just gave you bad information.
Oh, no.
I said that man going around taking names was Kep Mo.
Oh, no.
It's not. It was Mungo Jerry.
Oh, no. And
I just wanted to straighten that out.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I think there are other communities that are forgotten, too, the elderly and people with disabilities, and we did have our own program on the station.
Oh,
and
that's right.
I remember
for older people, right?
I remember,
Lydia Bragger.
Yes, she had a wonderful program, and she used to have this guy, John, he does the news.
John Hess.
Yes, and they would do the program together. Sometimes she'd do it, you know, by herself, and sometimes he would join her. But it was a wonderful program for elderly people speaking about their issues, and we had our program about our issues, people with disabilities speaking about what we were going through. People were learning, at least I thought so, about our problems. And it felt to me that we mattered. It felt to me that it was important what we felt, how we felt about things. And when the program was taken off, I personally was very hurt. Me, I have to be honest. I was really hurt because it doesn't feel like we matter.
Well,
but I said, I love the station anyway.
Sure, it's the best. It's the only game in town. I'm still saying that. I mean, you know, you can't. The BAI is the place.
The program wasn't taken off because people didn't want to run it anymore. Lydia Braga stopped wanting to do the program. And there was no one else.
Yeah, but you might also add that probably the person who was in charge of programming made no effort whatsoever to secure anybody else, and that's the truth too.
And
that's the problem, you know.
And the program for disabilities was done by a woman who I know, Paula Wolf, and Paula Wolfbrand, and she used to do it. Anyway, that was for our, she has a disability, and it was, we were speaking out, and I loved the program. Not that I didn't like all of the other, I'm not saying I didn't like any of the programs. I like everything you have, but I just felt hurt because this was a I never found any radio station in my lifetime that had a program about us having, you know, people with disabilities speaking, that letting us know you matter, you count in the community, you count in society, your voice matters, your voice will be heard. That's what it felt like to me. Your voice is important. We want to hear what you have to say, how you feel, your thoughts and ideas. And it did make a difference in my life, and that's all I had to say.
Sure.
And have a great night,
and
everyone.
I hope somebody's listening who does the programming decisions around, you know.
Okay. Have a wonderful night, both of you. And, Mike, I want you to continue to have a wonderful program. I do listen to your program. I have to say, I enjoyed when one Friday last year, I'm sorry I'm taking up too much of your time. Bob, I apologize, but I have to tell you this.
Will you stop apologizing? You're making me crazy.
Okay.
You
should apologize.
You say these great things. People should apologize for not saying them before you called.
Yeah.
Okay.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah. Go ahead.
One night, it was last summer, and it was one Friday night, I was going out, and I decided to treat myself to a sandwich. So I was supposed to go out, and I couldn't help listening to when you were talking about your life and everything, and I just enjoyed it, and you kept me there for the whole time of your program till the end of it. I thought it was great.
Well, great. Thanks. You know,
okay.
There's a compliment.
That's all I wanted to say, and you guys have a wonderful morning.
Well, you know, I just want to say this. I mean, one of the great things about Mike is that he talks about what are called his disabilities, and he talks about them in such a way that people can relate to them, because he does it artfully.
He does, and you were talking about your depression, and I was thinking about, wow, you were also in the well of depression, you know, like in the murky waters of misery, and you were, you know,
feeling... Oh, my favorite spa.
That's what I was thinking about.
I have a lifetime membership.
Yes, the flapjacks of despair.
Yeah.
The
lobster bisque of mania.
The jacuzzi of despond. Yes.
Okay. Hey, everyone.
Let's have no more jacuzzis around here. We have reconciliation.
Have a great morning. And, Bob, thank you for playing some Phil Oaks this morning. That was great.
You're welcome.
I never heard that song. That was great.
Oh, thank you.
And hey, you want to hear some Tim Harden?
Yes. Have a wonderful night. Thanks to BAI.
I owe Keb Moe play, though.
Okay.
Thanks to 1968, the first time I ever heard BAI in the summer of 68, that's how I heard of Phil Oaks, Tim Harden, and all those wonderful people. And that was great.
I saw Tim Harden in the summer of 68 up at Woodstock.
Wow.
Socrates.
Yeah.
Wow.
Outdoors.
Right. I produced that concert series.
Fantastic.
And
great.
Tim Harden, who lived in the area, came and... I mean, he
have a Tim Harden song.
Yeah, 15.
Taught his song to the band.
Wow,
it was wonderful.
And one of
in
my
front
friends,
of the audience.
And one of my friends, Bob, had told me to tell you hello because she can't get BAI. And when I go to visit her, it's so sad in a way because I miss it.
Where
in Washington. She lives in Baltimore, but then I also visit another friend in Washington, and I can't find it. But
well, you should tell them to call up WPFW and ask Mr. Daughtry to put some of our programs on there. And he'll do it in a second. He just wants to do that, he told me.
Because my friend, she used to live in New York, and she used to listen to you, Bob. So
Bob Daughtry told me that he's the biggest fan of Bob Fass and me, of anybody in this entire country. And he was just embarrassed that he couldn't put us on nationally. That's why he quit.
You mean not that paper?
Have a good night.
Well, when things go wrong, with you, well, you know it hurts me too. Thank you.
hurts me too. And you stick to him like glue. Baby, when things go wrong, go wrong with you. Well, it hurts me too. It hurts me too.
If I listened long enough to you, I'd find a way to believe that it's all true. Knowing that you lie straight faced while I cry, but still I'd look to find a reason to believe. Someone like you makes it hard to live without somebody else. Someone like you makes it easy to never think of myself. If I gave you time to change my mind, I'd find a way to leave the past behind. Knowing that you lie straight face while I cry, still I look to find a reason to be. If I listen long enough to you, I'd find a way to believe it's all true. Knowing that you lie straight face while I cry, still I look to find a reason to believe.
answer some more of these calls. Phones are really lighting up, as they used to say, like a Christmas tree. You're on the radio.
Yes, please don't cut me off.
Well, Monroe.
Wow. Listen, who took
Monroe,
the brunt
you've
of
been
the Clayton Riley.
Monroe, you
who
were.
Who took the brunt?
Right, and who put the bump at the bump to bump to bump?
Yeah, and who of you stood
and
up
who put the
against
the
oppressor Riley?
Those are the questions we need to know right
yes,
now.
Yes, you're asking questions about the people, the underdog.
The underdog, the poor person
who has to face.
No one ever talks about the undercast.
Yeah, right.
Janice K. Bryant took
the. Who are the young people at Art and Design who have to try and find jobs in a world where advertising and commercial
what about
art.
Field mice. No
yeah.
one ever says a damn thing.
And
about
who
field
was
mice.
It?
Monroe.
Who was it but Jay Smooth who threw my name into the mix?
Monroe, you're so vain.
Monroe.
No, it's not that. It's
Monroe.
Not,
it is about that. It's always about you, Monroe.
Monroe.
Listen, I've been fighting
Monroe.
The oppression on WBAI for ages.
I happen to know you were a communist during
you
the
40s. You don't know
anything. Monroe.
And you don't know anything.
That's Monroe.
I know more than I do.
I want to go on record that you, Mike Fader, after you invited me down to the station.
That's right.
I came down.
You tried to knock somebody over the head.
No, I didn't do anything. I was peaceful. I was talking. And this woman at the switchboard demanded that I get out. I said,
now,
I'm leaving right now because there are people manning the phones at the fundraiser. And all of a sudden, I was in the front office taking care of putting things in the pigeonhole mailboxes.
Monroe.
Will you allow me to speak?
No, Monroe, just...
You always have been interrupting.
Monroe.
People didn't like that you cut me off so fast on your program last week.
Monroe.
Yes, dear. What is it, love?
Oh, Monroe, thank you. Thank you.
Listen,
Monroe, please, listen.
Let me
have free speech, Monroe. You talk right through me. You won't let me respond to you.
It's only your program, only your 3 hours.
Well, Monroe, I was trying to say, since you've been here, you've entered a new category. I'm not going to cut you off. You don't have to call up in such an angry...
Well, I am.
Why are you so angry, Monroe? Anger gets in the way of you getting what you want.
No, we need angry men.
No, Monroe. We need fewer angry men.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
We need softer... You know people like you, nice sweeties who let the station go down for... how many times did you call in, Bob, to protest the lead, the Utrice of lead?
Oh,
how many times, Bob? Tell me. Count them. I like you. I love you. I look for spiritual upbringing, but up the bearing, up everything. But I say this, we must. We must honor the young.
Monroe, take a deep breath.
We must honor the...
Monroe, take please. I beg you. Take a deep breath, Monroe. And hold your breath for just a moment. Can you hold your breath for just a moment?
Hello?
I'm hoping you're going to pass out, Monroe.
Well, aren't you this...
You're on the radio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
He's always a tough act to follow. I have a question. Why should a 18 or 20 year old of any ethnicity tune into the radio when there's the internet?
That.
Well, because you can't take. I guess you can take a computer with you in the subway. But you can't pick up radio on it. You have to be near a phone line.
Well,
you can't take it on your skateboard.
Can't. Yeah, I hear that. But the question was brought up earlier pertaining to bringing youth into the station with commercialism and to dumbing down a society. And you know, I thought about that. You know, the kids today, they're not like kids in the 60s. You know, they're not afraid to get drafted, you know. And the internet is so convenient. And to be honest, WBAI, I mean, I listen from time to time. And it's nostalgia, you know, and it's good. I enjoy it. You know, it's nostalgia. I mean, and it's very, very good for people who are elderly and people who are, have disabilities. I think that I'm being real. And that's, I mean, everyone has their opinion. I said
it. No, I'm not laughing at you. I'm just thinking it's unfortunately so apt in some ways. You know.
I mean, you know.
But I mean, we're not all disabled here. You know.
I make my observation.
Not so sure.
You know?
Well, yeah, that's true. Some
I mean, it's sort of lofty idealism that borders on illusion. I heard a quote the other day.
I like that phrase.
That's
a great phrase.
It said WBAI is this radio station that changed the world. And
I think it's a little grandiose.
Yeah, yeah, really. Yeah. And who broadcast that parody on Hugh Hamilton show?
Gee,
I mean, it was hilarious. It could have been funnier. And all most of the music shows.
Did you say it could have been funnier?
Could have been funnier. I don't know who wrote the material, but I
you know, actually, some listeners wrote them.
And I hope Hugh has a good sense of humor.
Well, he got on the air and said that he thought it was funny.
Okay.
Yeah, Armand DeMille didn't like being made fun of.
Yeah, but you Hamilton thought it was funny. He said he wanted to take the play on his own program. I heard. You know,
well,
but, you know, I don't really think it's all nostalgia. I mean, there's some of that, but I don't think it's all that way.
Everything old is new.
Even nostalgia isn't what it used to be, though.
You know,
no, but no, you're right. I mean, a lot of the programming here is sort of like the accusation is it's leftover hippie 60s stuff, but I don't think there's that much of that. I think a lot of the stuff, if you listen carefully, is just as applicable to anybody who's listening now. I mean, how old are you? You're an old guy, too. I could tell. Yeah.
I'm almost a half a century.
Almost half a century. Now. You're a kid. See, I'm 56.
You only got a few years on me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean,
well, I'm, you know, I'm in my late 40s. You know, so I've been around more than the block.
So, would you say if you listen to a lot of BAI programs, is really what programs here can you imagine that kids would listen to?
Right now?
Yeah. None. Some.
I don't listen much during the day. Maybe once a week I'll listen during the day because I'm working during the day and I'm off on Thursdays, right? So I get an opportunity to listen to the daytime programming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a diverse bunch of you know teenagers out there, and you know some of them on the computers, you know, and then the ones that they can't afford computers, they're either breaking their neck studying a book or they're out in the street looking over their shoulder.
Yeah.
You know, so during the daytime, I don't know, I mean.
Well, what should we put on to attract
I listen, I don't have any suggestions.
No, well,
I do, you know, the solutions, I'm not a solution man today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just making comments. I mean,
yeah,
if you can come
fair.
Up with something. I mean, like I said, the kids today are, you know, I gave this some thought. I mean, kids today, again, back in the 60s, you know, with the whole anti-war movement, et cetera, nobody wanted to go over and fight. And they, you know, they had it.
I would like to make a little bit of a statement about this decadism.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's decadent. I think it's based, really, on the system that produces a new kind, a new fashion in jeans every 6 or 7 years, you know. I was just looking, speaking of the 60s, I was just looking at A Hard Day's Night, the scene where George Harrison goes into, or he wanders into an office of someone who has a kind of a teenage idol on TV who they say gets it wrong all the time.